Sound good? All right. All right. The book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of the twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you who were afar off, and to them that were nigh, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Let's pray. Thank you, Father God, for this time, this opportunity to be in your word. We just trust your word to do its work in our inner man and cause us to grow. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, just by review a little bit, we said that a wall is a separation, right? It's a division, it's a distinction between, according to these verses, two groups. And those two groups are, what are they called there? Circumcision and uncircumcision, right? The circumcision are the Jews. The uncircumcision, that's right, everybody else. We're going to call them Gentiles. Jew and Gentile. And Gentile just means nations, right? Between the Jews and the nations, the Gentiles. And so, when did God put up this wall between these two groups? Well, he couldn't put it up before there were Jews, because there weren't always Jews. And there weren't always Gentiles, nations. Okay? When did the nations come into being? Let's look at the Genesis chapter 10. The nations actually came into being due to a very specific event that happened. And in actuality, the event that caused the nations to come into being is in Genesis 11. But the actual nations are mentioned in Genesis 10. Do this for me. Just look at the end of 10, verse 31. Genesis 10, 31. In that chapter, he went through the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, right? And out of them, their descendants became nations. And verse 31 says, these are the sons of Shem, after their families, after their tongues, in their lands, after their nations. The reason that I read that verse is it's a good definition of what a nation is. Families, it's the people. their tongues, that is the language. They have a specific language to that nation, and they're in a land, in a located place with a border. Okay, that makes up nation, a nation. But if you look at the beginning of chapter 11, verse 1, it's actually going back before Genesis 10. It says the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Go to verse 4. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. So there was one people with one language, right? They built one city with one tower, and they had one purpose. And by the way, all of that was in rebellion against God, right? God had told them, be fruitful, multiply, fill, inhabit the whole earth. In other words, go out. They said, no, we're going to stay in. We're going to build this city and this tower. And the tower, of course, is in reference to their religion. They were not building some super high tower, you know, like they did in Dubai, that super high tower, the tall, tall building. They weren't doing that. They were building a religion to reach up into heaven by worshiping something other than God. They were worshiping the hosts of heaven, the small g little gods behind the sun, moon, and the stars, and so forth. They wanted to reach that goal of heaven, but they wanted to do an end around God, right? Nothing to do with God. Right? And in fact, this division here comes a lot out of what they were doing. Look at me real quick. Hold the Genesis. We'll come back there in just a second. And go to Romans chapter 1. I'll do this very briefly. Romans chapter 1. It gives you an idea of what's going on here with the Gentiles. Look with me at Romans chapter 1, and we'll just read parts of a couple verses. In verse 21, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Come down to 23, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image. It's the beginning of idolatry. Verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up. Strike two. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Because they didn't want to have anything to do with God. In fact, that verse 28 says they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. To retain something means that you had it. They had it. They knew about God. They didn't want to have anything to do with it. He gives them over to a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind is a mind without any knowledge of God. He said, if that's what you want to do, God said, okay. He let them go their way. Back to Genesis. And of course, we know what happened at the Tower of Babel. To get them to do what he wanted them to do, which was to go out into the earth to be fruitful and multiply, he confused their language, and they couldn't communicate with one another, and they went out and created the nations. Okay, but these were nations in rebellion to God. God said, I am going to create my own nation. And so in Genesis chapter 12, what does he do? He calls out one man, Abram. Abram. If you look real quick on Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land which I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation. God's going to get a nation to show the Gentiles what he wants. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. That's interesting. In verse 3, he says, and I will bless them that bless thee, curse them that curseth thee, and in thee all the families of the earth be blessed. So although God let the nations go their way, he hasn't really given up on them. He intends to reach them, but he's going to reach them through this nation, who are descendants of Abram, in a land, right, being blessed by God. Okay. So that's the beginning. Right there, God begins this separation. Now we know that God made covenants with Abraham. His name was Abram. That means exalted father. He changed his name to Abraham, father of many nations. That's even before he and Sarah had Isaac. Right. And as a sign, as a token, it's called, of the covenant that he made with Abraham, he gives them the practice of circumcision. Circumcision. Okay, I'm kind of a visual learner, so I'm going to kind of put it up here on the board the way I see it in my mind. Okay. So, Abraham, we know, had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. These are the fathers of the 12 tribes of Israel. God had told Abraham that they were going to go into a strange nation and be afflicted there for 400 years. That happened. The nation was Egypt. God, through Moses, calls them out. All right. They go into the wilderness to Mount Sinai, and he gives them the law. The law, by the way, what's law spelled backwards? Whoa. You know what I think that means? Nothing really. Just a coincidence. Just a coincidence. Okay. He gives them the law. And the law, if this wall wasn't already strong, the law strengthens, I'm going to do this, it strengthens and fortifies this separation between Jew and Gentile. You know, I have a block wall between my property and my neighbor, and he decided to build a pool. So there was just a little adjacent wall on his property that he took down so they could get equipment into the backyard. And lo and behold, the next day, there was 20, 30 feet of our block wall in between our properties. Boom! Fell down. What we found out was no rebar. There was no concrete in those blocks. Well, the law is rebar. The law is pretty thick rebar, right? It fortifies and strengthens this wall between Jew and Gentile. In fact, these people are so identified with the practice of circumcision, they're called the circumcision. The circumcision. And the law tells them everything. Tells them how to live. Tells them what they could wear. Who they could marry. What they could eat. Right? Their diet. In the diet, there were clean animals and unclean animals. What was God saying? God was saying, clean, unclean. Right? That's what he's saying. And now we're going to go to Ephesians. Now we can fast forward. Let's see what Paul has to say about this wall before it gets broken down. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, listen to what he says, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision. So these people over here are calling these people over here something, and it wasn't very nice, and it wasn't nice at all. Right? Do you remember when David was still a young man, probably a teenager, his dad sends him to his brothers who are in the army of King Saul. They're fighting the Philistines, so David's father sends him with food to his brothers. And he sees this giant man coming out every day and defying and challenging the army of God. And David gets mad. And he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that they should defy the armies of the living God? Right? You know, sometimes they're just words on a page and we read them. But I can imagine David was spitting out those words. You uncircumcised Philistine. Yeah. So that's what these people were saying about these people. Right. And you remember also when the Lord Jesus, before his crucifixion, stood before Pilate. And Pilate asked him the question, are you the king of the Jews? And he said, did somebody tell you that, or did you come up with that on your own? And he says, am I a Jew? I imagine that's just the way he said it. Right? Am I a Jew? That's what these people said about these people. Right? These people over here are uncircumcised. They're unclean. This is God's holy people. They're unholy. They're ungodly. Don't you think that that would cause some feeling in between the two? Maybe some Jews are God's favored nation. Maybe some jealousy. Maybe some animosity. Actually, in these verses, twice Paul uses the word enmity. Enmity between the two. Let's go on. Verse 12. Look at verse 12. At that time, ye Gentiles were without Christ. Whereas the Jews had, I'm going to put the word Messiah up here. They had the promise of a Messiah. Right? Christ comes from the Greek word, and Messiah comes from the Hebrew word. At that time, what time? At this time back here, Gentiles were without Christ. They were aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel. Israel was the head, right? Gentiles were the tail. Did I spell it wrong? Israel. I missed an R. Thank you, Steve. Steve's back there going. Aliens. Whereas these people here have God's favored nation. They are God's covenant people. In fact, isn't that the next thing? The Gentiles were strangers. And these Jews had covenants. They were God's covenant people. What else? Having no hope. Gentiles had no hope. No hope. Did Israel have hope? Yes, they had hope. They had hope of eternal life in the kingdom. One of the covenants that God made with them was with King David. He promised him that David wanted to make God a house. God said, I'm going to make you a house. Right? And from your descendants is going to come a king. He's going to sit on a throne in a kingdom that will last forever. Right? And in verse 13, in the middle of the verse, I'm just going to put this up here. It says, the Gentiles were far off. They were far off. That means the Jews were near. I'm going to use the word, the Jews had access to God. They were far from God. Gentiles far from God. Jews were, they had access. They had a tabernacle. Then they had a temple with the holy place, the holy of holies. In that holy place, there was the Ark of the Covenant. There was the mercy seat with the cherubim. And that's where God met with them. And God spoke with them. All right? So they had access to God. Well, this is building up. This is the effect that wall had, the Jews and the Gentiles. There's more. Look with me to Romans chapter 9. There's another list here in the book of Romans. And chapter 9. At the very end of verse 3, it says, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, the next verse says, who are Israelites. So that's who we're talking about now. We're talking about Israel. To whom pertaineth the adoption? I'm going to write that up here. What's the next one? The glory. Glory. You know, when Moses told God, show me your glory, right? Before that, right before that, Moses tells God, these people, your people. And God says, no, they're your people. And Moses said, no, they're your people. Right? There's a little back and forth there to him and God. He says, I'm not taking these people, Moses says, I'm not taking these people anywhere without you. Moses wanted God's presence. The next thing you know, they're talking about glory. And that glory, God shows him his glory, and he says that he is merciful, right, and forgiving, and so on. Glory speaks, I believe, of God's presence, right? Israel had God's presence. Gentiles, no. Okay. Adoption, glory, covenants. We've already got that up there. The giving of the law. We've got that already up there. The service of God. They had the privilege and the right to serve Him in their sacrificial system. Right? And promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom concerning the flesh Christ came. Right ahead up here, the promise, they had a promise of a Messiah, but by the time this was written, by the Paul, the time Paul wrote this, Christ came. He came through Israel. The promise of the promised seed of the woman came through Abraham's descendants, right? One more big one. Romans chapter 3. Go to Romans chapter 3, verse 1. Romans 3, 1. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Pause. It should say Selah right there. It doesn't. Much every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. That's God speaking. And when God's speaking is written down, we call that scripture, right? Go with scripture. Scripture. Okay, now I want you to look at this while I ask the questions again. You look at, what advantage then hath the Jew? What profit is there in circumcision? The answer is much, every way. Right? Imagine that you lived back then. Which side of the wall would you want to be on? Right? Well, let me say, you were on this side. You were on this side. That's why Paul starts out when in Ephesians 2, he says, wherefore, remember. Remember where you were. You're without God. You were an alien, stranger. You had no hope. You were far from God. Ephesians chapter 2. Now we can finally read the beginning of verse 3. You've been waiting. I know you have. But now, verse 13. Ephesians 2:13. Right? Right? You ready? But now, remember where you were, but now, why does he say remember, right? Because there's been a change. There's been a gigantic, massive, tremendous change that these people over here could what? What does it say? What are the next three words after but now? These are tremendous words. In Christ Jesus. May we never, ever, right, forget or become complacent or take for granted the change that has happened that put us into Christ Jesus. Because ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. That's what it took. That's what it took to take these people, to put them into Christ. It took the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ speaks of redemption. It speaks of payment for our sins. Rich quoted this verse this morning. He who knew no sin became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He who knew no sin became sin. Read it this way. He who knew no sin became my sin. He became your sin. Right? We should never take for granted what it took to put us into Christ, and what it took to take down this wall, right? By the blood of Christ. On our part, redemption. Towards God, it was propitiation, right? Satisfied God's justice so that He could be just and the justifier of those who believe in Jesus. Right. Imagine what you have to do today to be in Christ. By the way, if you're not in Christ, you need to be in Christ. Right? Rich shared this morning those verses in 1 Corinthians. Christ died for your sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. Okay. Put your trust in Him, and He'll put you in Christ. Right? 14, verse 14. For He is our peace, who hath made both one. Just a second. We were talking about the jealousy, the animosity, the enmity between this group and this group. He takes them and makes them one. Both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition. Wow, we're just going to do this between us. By the way, He doesn't take down this wall so a Gentile could become a Jew. Right? He doesn't do that. He's going to take both groups and put them into, make them both one. Right? Verse 15, having abolished in His flesh the enmity. The word enmity in Webster's, the 1828, says, having the characteristic of an enemy, right? Ill will, right? That's in the flesh. That's in our flesh. That's why when this wall went up, that was the natural man's reaction from a Gentile when he looked at a Jew. There was enmity. But He abolished the enmity in His flesh. Even the law of commandments, He took that out of the way because it was in between. The wall was beneficial for God to accomplish His purpose with the nation Israel. But it was a real barrier for if you were a Gentile. It was a barrier. Right? So he took it out of the way. In the middle of verse 15, you have the word for. Right? For to make in himself of the twain, of the two, one new man making peace. He made both one in something we refer to as one, the one new man. The fact that he says new means there was something else before. This is not the first time that God created a man. Right? Actually, look at verse 10 in Ephesians 2. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." This man, this one new man, is a creation of God. Right? You might thought that God stopped creating in Genesis, right? 1 and 2. But he didn't. He's creating. Even today, he's forming one new man. The man that was created back there in Genesis was created for the earth. He was to have dominion over the earth, right? He was on God's behalf to rule and reign and set up and run God's administration on the earth. But in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So God also needs a man to do what? To, on God's behalf, magnifying and glorifying the Lord Jesus, is going to rule and reign with him to administer God's administration in the heavenly places. Right? The man for the earth, the man for the heaven. Verse 16. And that he might reconcile both Jew and Gentile unto God in one body. Stop there. In one body. Right? I said it was just a coincidence that law is spelled wall backwards. It's just a coincidence. This is not a coincidence that God uses, that Paul uses, the Spirit through Paul uses the word body here. Right? He could have used another word. He could have said that God reconciled both in one entity or whatever. But body is pointing you to what? He's pointing you to the body of Christ. The church. The body. Let's put it over here. We all know that a man has a body. He also has a head. Right? This new man has a head and a body. We are the body of Christ. We are members of his body. He is the head. Right? All the instructions, whenever I write up on the board, it's not my hand that's, yes, my hand is doing it. But my hand does it at the instruction of the head. Right? We live, we behave and function according to our instructions from the head. And where are those? They don't come from dreams that we have. Right? They come from where? They come from the Word of God. There's a communication from the head to the body through the Word of God. We communicate back through prayer. So there is a living flow between the head and the body. Let's see if I have time. Let's take a quick look at Colossians, where he mentions this communication, this flow life, in chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Now, in Colossians, Paul is warning them. He says, beware lest anybody spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. And he also says, let no man beguile you, right, of your reward. Verse 19. How could that happen? How could someone beguile? Why is this warning happening? It's only possible if you do not hold the head. He says, not holding the head, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. This one new man, this body of Christ, God is forming and it is increasing. Requires us to hold the head. Okay. So I have a question for you. When did this take place? When did God break down this middle wall and begin to form this one new man, the body of Christ? Yes. There's probably a number of verses that we could look at, but I want you to look at Acts. I'd like for you to look at Acts 26. This morning, Rich mentioned that there's three times in the book of Acts that Paul talks about his conversion process, and Acts 9, 22, and 26. And we're going to read in 26, and I want you to keep an ear out for the word now. Okay, I'm going to start in 14. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Verse 15. And I said, who art thou, Lord? This is Paul talking. And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Verse 17, delivering thee from the people, that's the Jews, and from the Gentiles, who unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified. He says, to the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Right? Ran the hurdles so I could jump over things. Right? And whenever they start, they had a starter's pistol, right? And it was like, on your mark, get set, bang, go. That's what I think of when I read that word now. Now I send thee. Paul, now, go. Do you think if this wall was still up, that a Pharisee of the Pharisees could be going to the Gentiles with a message? What does it say here? Of forgiveness of sins, inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith. Sanctified by faith. That's not Israel's program. Right? This is a change. Right? This is a new dispensation. This new dispensation took place at the conversion, began at the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, and God began to form one new man, the body of Christ. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Galatians, almost done here. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 15. Galatians 6:15. For in Christ Jesus, right? Where are you? Are you in Christ Jesus? You are. In Christ Jesus, listen, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. That's this program over here. Circumcision, uncircumcision. It doesn't avail anything. Right? There's no value in today in the dispensation of grace of being circumcised. He doesn't even care about it if you're uncircumcised. What does God care about? What does God value? A new creature. Right? For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. That's the one new man. That's the church, the body of Christ, of which you're a member. This is what God is doing today. This is what we need to realize God is doing and be a part of it as we are by faith. Right? One more thing. If this wall is down, right, and God is doing this today, is God done with Israel? But he broke down the wall. Well, yeah, he'll have to put it back up. He's going to need to put it back up. You know when it goes up? You know when the wall goes up? When we go up. All right? When we go up, when the church, the body of Christ, when the one new man has been formed and God takes us to our destination, right, then the wall is going to go back up. Look at Romans 11. This is the last verse we'll read. Romans chapter 11. The book of Romans chapter 11, verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Next verse. And so all Israel shall be saved, all believing Israel. In Galatians, Paul calls the believers, the remnant, he calls the Israel of God. Right? That Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Okay, so God's not done. You were right. God's not done with Israel. But right now he's doing this. So when he says blindness in part has happened to Israel until, at the time word, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. The fullness of the Gentiles is the complete intention and purpose for which God took down this wall and started creating the one new man. Once this fullness comes in, right? He even uses the word, I told you that was the last verse, but I'm going to look up another verse in Ephesians. chapter. Look at Ephesians 4. I'm just thinking of the word fullness, right? Here's another till word, you know, a time word. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. When we reach that point, God is going to catch us up, right? We're going to go and meet him in the air. He's going to take us all the way up to heaven. We are going to go through the judgment seat of Christ, get rid of all that old baggage. I have some baggage. I want to get rid of that. That happens at the judgment seat of Christ, right? He's going to present us to the Father. We'll get our assignments, and we will go into the heavenly places to magnify and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ for eternity. Amen. Yes, to that I say hallelujah. Amen. Okay, that's good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. For this time in the Word, we trust your Word. It is the power of God to do the work of God in our inner man and to increase our stature. And we look forward to being the fullness of Christ in your one new man. Amen.